So anyway, Steve, now that you're here, you're going to be at the conference, obviously. You're at every conference that we give. And you always...
I am, and I'm bringing a rather impressive lineup of colleagues with me.
Uh-huh. You always do? You pack the
room? Some knowingly, some unknowingly.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here to discuss. You want a victim. Is that right?
I do want a victim.
Doesn't sound as bad as it... I mean, no, it sounds worse than it is, what I'm trying to say.
No, I think it sounds exactly the way it is.
It's pretty bad.
I want someone who will allow me to both conduct an extremely in-depth investigation of them, a cyber investigation, no following of them physically, although they will certainly be followed digitally. Every place their phone shows up, every call they make, every posting they make,
I think
every photo.
Being followed physically, I think, is better because you can turn around and see, you can catch the person, you can jump on them and you know,
you can
hit them with a
stick.
Put
on a baseball cap and change your jacket and slip into the subway.
Yeah, but digitally, there's no escape.
There is no escape, and that's the point. Actually, I just came from purchasing a drone, which will be at the conference.
I knew this day would come.
There will be multiple drones at my event. Some surveillance drones, some attack drones, which will shoot Nerf missiles anyone who annoys me.
You're not talking about humans. You're talking about actual machines.
I'm talking about actual flying drones.
Okay. All right.
That will be hovering throughout the very large room that I speak in during the Q&A session. One drone will zip over to the people asking questions, and the other one will be available if there's an annoying person.
This I have to see.
You will.
Okay, I hope so.
You can be our test dummy if you like.
You're not kidding us.
No, I'm not kidding.
Actual drones.
I'm not kidding. My friend Yuri, who is chief of cybersecurity for chief of IT security for a very large New York hospital, is going to be flying one drone, and I've got my buddy Bob, who's coming in from Michigan, who flies drones for real, is going to be flying the attack drone. Because the attack drone...
Wait, how's it going to get inside the hotel room?
Well, the surveillance drone is only 40 inches by 40 inches.
Okay, so he's not actually going to be flying it. He'll be
controlling it. It'll be absolutely
but
flying.
But he won't be inside it, is what I'm saying.
When you said he was flying
it, I figured he was going to be up there.
A drone is, these drones are unmanned drones.
Okay, unmanned
they
drones.
They are UAVs.
Uh-huh. All right.
The attack drone is, we may have two. We're trying to see how good they are in swarms. We want to see if we can replicate real-world swarms inside an enclosed area. And if we can, I will have two drones hovering over me ready to pounce on anyone who asks a question I really don't want to answer.
I think it's great that we're using the same technology that we're trying to find out all this secret information about, and we're just sort of taking it over ourselves.
We're not going to have a couple of Air Force guys in Fort Oaxaca flying it from 3,000 miles away.
Let's hope
this
not.
This will be on site.
So you're thinking about having swarms of attack drones inside enclosed spaces.
Well,
I can't help but think
I don't
this
know is two a swarm?
No, two's not a swarm.
You would
okay,
need
so
more.
Well, there'll be there's going to be two drones, one attack drone, one surveillance drone. There may be a second attack drone. I think at that point, three is a mini swarm.
There may be a swarm because I think a lot of people are going to bring drones to this conference. I don't know how that's got started.
Well, maybe we can shoot them down.
That might happen, too.
We've already had some drones of various sorts at the conference before, but I don't know about
this. You're talking
about
humans now, aren't you? I can tell.
Oh, well, we don't want to go to that.
We have a talk on drones, I think.
A talk on drones, yes.
Maybe we should have these drones come in and attend the talk on drones.
Maybe the drones just run the conference, you know, because I could sure use a break.
It'd save us a lot of work.
Do you remember that movie, I forget what it was, where at the beginning of the movie it starts out, there's a teacher and then the students start putting down digital tape recorders. And at the end of the movie, there's a room full of digital tape recorders and the camera pans up to the front and there's a big reel-to-reel giving the lecture.
Rob T. Firefly, 40 points.
That was a movie called Real Genius, which is a great hacker film for many reasons.
That is correct.
It's a great movie.
Yes.
That's what I think is eventually going to happen. I think hope, like 5.2K or whatever it is at some point, will be just cyborgs giving the talks and attending. I intend to, when I die, actually find some bender-like creature and put my brain in the robot.
That's
I want to keep attending, you know, hopes through the 23rd century.
And they're going to continue at the Hotel Pennsylvania because that building will never be torn down. And even with cyborgs and drones,
it'll probably be covered by rubble during the
first robot
second,
wars.
Second thermonuclear war, sure.
Okay.
Hey, Steve.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Steve, getting back to your request for a victim, you're going to track this victim using all open source methods. Is that right?
Well, we're going to do exactly what we did to Rick Dakin, but we are also going to expand to use the new technologies, tracking and amalgamating posts and determining where the person was at the time of the post and using that post to further de-anonymize the person's other posts. One of the things we're going to be covering quite a bit in my seminar this year is third-party de-anonymization of your activity on the net. It is absolutely impossible, or functionally impossible, for you to be anonymous anymore on the net. And how the various online services, because they want to know where you are and what you're doing and what you like and who your friends are colonizing the web, where even if you don't check into their particular infrastructure, and by that I mean Google or Facebook or what have you, their various like buttons and monitoring of cookies and things like that know where you are and what you're doing anyway, even if you're not logged into their system. Now, we have a backdoor way to utilize that tracking, as I might add, so does the U.S. government. By the way, when you said it's 20 trillion transactions, let me tell you, you didn't read that carefully. It's 20 trillion trillion transactions. It is 20 septillion transactions to date.
Just quoting what he said. So,
well, it's written down wrong. Every phone call, every email, every cyber connect to a certain type of system. I mean, right now, the U.S. government is getting into, and this is going to be another part of my talk, something called the Internet of Things, which is your refrigerator has an Ethernet port. You can text your stove to have it start cooking a casserole before you come home. Even Apple is starting to incorporate with iOS 6 location alerts, where if you have purchased a 30-day prescription for, I don't know, I'll say Xanax.
Okay.
And it's the 29th day and you are passing your drugstore, it will send you a text saying your prescription is expiring, you better go in and renew it.
You're not supposed to read text while you're driving.
Well, wow. What can I tell you?
Especially on Xanax.
Yes.
Well, but, right, especially on Xanax.
Well, right now I've got the drugstore calling me, reminding me constantly.
At any rate, what I need is a privacy victim. Ideally, I want someone who actually has a life.
What do you mean by that, someone who has a life?
Well, I'd like them to actually be someone who doesn't sit in their basement 6 days a week. I'd like to be able to actually track their activities. I'd like to be able to track their purchases, when they go out with their friends, what they do, where they go. I would like to be able to show that it is possible today for an investigator, especially a governmental investigator that has a backdoor to Google. And we're going to be talking about Google backdoors, by the way, and Facebook backdoors. Google and Facebook are so deeply in bed with I had a member of the U.S. intelligence community tell me, and I thought this was the most fantastic quote ever, that Google is this administration's Halliburton.
Oh,
what
boy.
Halliburton was for Bush 41 and 43, Google is to our Vulcan President Obama.
We just lost our net access, and I don't think it's
probably not
back.
An accident. Probably not an accident.
Wow.
Suddenly, we are no longer live streaming.
Let me just ask one quick thing. You don't want someone, obviously, without standing warrants or anything like that, because you're going to find out about it.
I am an investigator. I am very much ideologically different from the people in this room. Although I've certainly covered for a few people in this organization, but if I find out you have a warrant, you will go to jail. Yes, please don't call me if you have an outstanding warrant or
that's common sense.
Or I'm going to find child porn on your computer. Or anything like that. I mean, don't be a knucklehead about this. Be a real person who stupidly believes you have nothing to hide.
Yeah, there's plenty of people like that out there.
So you're basically looking for a volunteer to just live their life as they were before and then be surprised at what you can find out about them.
Well, I don't know how surprised they're going to be. The people that come to the Hope Conference are pretty hip. I have to tell you, one reason why I love doing the Hope Conference is because I can talk in shorthand. I don't have to explain every single little thing. When I talk about IPv6, nobody goes, huh, what's that?
But even with that, your talks still go 3 hours. So imagine how long they would go if you had to explain everything.
Well, you don't have to imagine. It's a two-day seminar. I just gave a full-day seminar to the investigative reporter team at the Miami Herald. I'm giving a two-day course through the Society of Professional Investigators. Which, by the way, if you are an investigator, I got to do one semi-promo shout-out here for probably the best investigative and security fraternal group in this area. There's a group called SPI, Society of Professional Investigators. Their website is SPI, SPIonline.info. If you are an investigator, a computer security tech, a security person, a law enforcement officer, a forensic specialist, any of the fields allied to law enforcement and investigations, this is probably the most remarkable group of people you've ever seen. And I urge you to join. I have just become the education chairman of that group, so I'm going to be setting up a 50-hour course, not a straight 50 hours, but 50 hours over...
You could do 50
hours.
Yeah,
I probably
straight.
Could. At the Next Hope. And in fact, let me tell you, SPI is going to authorize, I have found 6 talks, including 2 of the talks given by the EFF attorney, 6 talks at Hope that we are authorizing for our BCIP, Board Certified Investigative Professional Program, that if you attend these talks, we will issue you CEs and we will give you credits towards the credentials. So if you're an investigator, who either needs CEs or you want to participate in the BCIP program, contact me or contact one of the other members of the SPI board, and we'll tell you what we are authorizing as far as Hope. We're not authorizing all the talks. We really don't want to give continuing education for some, you know, knucklehead teaching you how to do silly things, but Hope has a lot of seminars that are very much not knuckleheaded, and we're impressed by them, and we're gonna issue CEs if you attend them.
How do people get a hold of you to do this?
Me, I probably shouldn't do this, but our public contact point for my investigative agency is pallorium@pallorium.com. That's pallorium at pallorium, same spelling, .com. My phone number is 212-969-0286, 212-969-0286. If you want to volunteer, contact me or contact, what's the off the hook address?
OTH@2600.com.
OTH@2600.com, or call me, or call Emmanuel. I'll give you his home phone number.
Let's just move on.
No, I'm kidding. But we really do want to volunteer, and trust me, you will help make our seminar exponentially better. There's nothing like real-world examples of how these things work.
And if you want more information on the Hope Conference, of course, go to the website www.hope.net. That's H-O-P-E, Hackers on Planet Earth. Rob?
Now, to take it back for a moment, you very briefly mentioned Rick Dakin, but for somebody who may not know that whole story, can you give us the really short version of what that was all about?
Short version, no. I can give you a brief version. Rick Dakin is a very impressive guy who probably would kill me if he bumped into me, because we are actually still doing a book together, and it's about 90% done, and the remaining 10% has been sitting there for 2 years and I haven't finished it, so entirely my fault. Rick Dakin is a very well-known writer. He wrote Geek Mafia and a number of other books. He's a pretty remarkable guy, and on this program, on Off the Hook one night, I put out a call for a victim, and he volunteered. And we did a remarkable, remarkable in-depth analysis of him, and actually used it for a talk. Now, the talk was ever so slightly delayed, because in 2006, the FBI, despite the fact that I'm an investigator and I routinely work with the federal government and with federal agencies, the FBI was rather annoyed that I found out that one of their chief informants, one of their high echelon informants, was essentially an escaped mental patient. And that's not an exaggeration. The story is even wilder than that. So six agents in raid jackets and weapons and whatever stormed into the Hope Conference and took me out of there in handcuffs as I was on my way into the room to give my talk.
And we all thought we were the ones in danger, and yeah, instead they haul you off. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, mind you, the charges were dropped fairly instantly, and the two federal prosecutors that authorized it were, as the saying goes, returned to the private sector. And I amazingly still to this day have no criminal record. But I had to wait until we reconvened a few months later at the Stevens Institute of Technology for Hope 2600.1, I think it was called, or the last Hope version.
Hope number six. Yeah, that last talk of Hope number six.
6.1 or whatever the heck it was.
Uh-huh.
Tell you what, it was a packed room. It was a major event. And which by the way, the FBI was considerate enough to attend and sit quietly.
Well, they always attend. They're always in there somewhere. Sometimes they're quiet.
Well, they are at my
talks.
So the victim, it can be anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country.
No. Well, look. Ideally, the following criteria should be met. Number one, it should be someone who actually has a life, goes out, does things. Second of all, it should be somebody who's going to, in advance, sign a ferocious, frightening release that we're going to send them. You're going to have to sign a release. Number three, what would be best would be if this is somebody who's actually going to attend Hope, so they can be right there as I reveal our digital proctology
and
exam.
And please don't chicken out at the last minute, because that...
That happened in 2004. That's
ruins
correct.
Everything. Ruins the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, we did an unbelievable review on a guy who's a journalist, who's a well-known journalist. I won't say his name. But the day before my talk, his attorney called me. I said, I have a release. He said, okay, we'll sue you anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, what do you expect? If you're going to have Steve look into you, he's going to find out things. So don't be surprised by that. I guess also we should point out, if you're a kid, probably there's not enough on you yet. You might be an interesting person, but nobody knows yet, right?
Yeah. And by the way, if you're a kid, you may not have the legal ability to sign a release.
True.
You know, I don't want to put up a little walking digital icon that shows school Pizza Paula home, school Pizza Paula home. I want to have somebody who goes out, who works, who goes to clubs, who does strange things, who, you know, we have a chance of actually embarrassing at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as actual private information, such as home phone numbers, social security numbers, is that something that this person can expect to get out to everybody?
No, but I will at some point hand him a piece of paper and say, is this in fact your social security number? And he'll go, oh, crap, yes. Is this your home phone number? Yes, it is. Does your social security number trace to all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Was your cell phone in the following 840 locations during the past 3 weeks? And that sort of thing. Yes,
all right.
A lot of it is going to be revealed. I mean, there are some things that will allow other people to do you harm or annoy you, we won't put out there, like a social security number. We won't put out your full date of birth. We won't put your home phone number.
Well, that's more than corporations will do, because they'll give all that information away.
You know, that's an interesting thing. I came in late, so I don't know if you actually talked about the Spokio case.
No, we haven't talked about that. We don't tell
us
what's going on.
Well, for those of you who don't know what Spokio is, you know, they could have been so much more than they are, because they have the right idea. They go out and they suck down all of the various social media sites, Facebook and MySpace and Google Plus and Flickr and so on and so on and so on and so on, and Foursquare and Instagram and everything out there, and they build a profile of everyone based on their social media activity and what's on their social media sites. Now, they needed to monetize that. And what they did was they started selling it to human resource companies and credit bureaus and background check people for pre-employment screening and credit checks and things like that. And they got spanked. The FTC, which is easily the most useless, worthless federal agency on the planet, no teeth whatsoever, no genuine understanding of most of the things that they police and regulate, for once did the right thing. They jumped on Spokio, and Spokio signed a consent decree that said, we don't admit we did anything wrong, but in the future, these particular things we won't do, and they paid an $800,000 fine. Now, a couple of things you need to know. First of all, $800,000 was basically cost of doing business for them. Meaningless. Second of all, the FTC consent decree was meaningless. Third of all, nothing that Spokio did initially was illegal. The fact of the matter is, and the most important thing, frankly, for anybody to know about the current state of affairs on the net is that Google and Facebook and MySpace and Flickr and Instagram and Foursquare and all of these various other companies are private companies. You do not have any right or any control over the information that they gather. If you are a moron enough to submit it, or your friends submit it on your behalf, or they go out and get it because essentially it's in the public domain, tough. Everything that Spokio did until the point where they sold that data for pre-employment screening purposes was totally kosher. Unfortunately for Spokio, there's something called the Federal Fair Credit Employment Act and the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act, which says if you issue what's called an investigative consumer report that reports on somebody's credit worthiness or worthiness to be hired or something like that, that is federally regulated. So gathering the information was kosher, compiling it was kosher, selling it was kosher, but selling it for pre-employment and selling it for credit screening was not kosher. You have a duty, first of all, to let the consumer, meaning the person you're gathering the information on, know about it. You have a duty to, at least in theory, I mean, the credit bureaus damn sure do it, but in theory, you are supposed to make your best efforts to make sure it's accurate. Spokio's information sucks beyond belief. If you go to Spokio and you check on somebody's date of birth or activities or people in the household or whatever, 50 to 75% of it will be wrong. Now, I'm saying all of this as somebody who owns PeopleFinder.net. One of my agency's subsidiaries is the largest privately held online investigative support service in the country. I own PeopleFinder.net. And I can tell you, I don't care who you are, whoever is listening to this broadcast, I have your home address, I have where you work, I have your social security number, I have your date of birth, I have all your phone numbers, I have your criminal record, I have every time you appeared in court, I have your real property, your voter registration, your UCCs. For me to continue, I would need a second appearance on this show. All legal for two reasons. Number one, I gathered it and compiled it legally. Second of all, I don't sell it for pre-employment screening or for credit granting. In fact, every report that we issue says this report is not suitable and cannot have been requested for pre-employment purposes or for any FCRA-regulated purpose. So I'm okay, Spokio wasn't. The important thing to take away from the Spokio incident is A, you, me, and everybody are screwed because there is no regulation on any of this data, and B, you have no control whatsoever on how this data is used.
Well, you know, when you say things like that, it makes me feel kind of helpless, like there's nothing that can be done. Well, should we just live our lives thinking that there's nothing we can do?
No, and on the contrary, there needs to be, at least among the people who think Which is why I love giving these seminars at any 2600 event, because people come who are actually, I mean, my definition of a hacker and the real definition of a hacker is not what a lot of knuckleheads think, but it's people who are inquisitive, who want to take things apart. They want to take their life apart. They want to understand everything down to the root level, including life. And when I talk about these things at Hope, I suspect that the vast majority of the people who leave the Privacy is Dead seminars, or Privacy is Decomposing at this point seminar. What are we calling it?
You know,
Privacy a Postmortem, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever the
seminar. A resurrection maybe in the
future.
Yeah,
whatever, right. 3 days later, Steve Jobs rose.
Okay.
People who attend these seminars and learn what's being done to them take proactive steps. But the vast majority out there have never read a terms of service. They have never looked at the Facebook privacy policy, for example. And the average person is being manipulated. You know, you post on Facebook, I just got my college diploma. I have a new girlfriend. I have a new pet. I'm in drug rehab, things like that. And all of your friends, because Zuckerberg is a brilliant little troll, all of your, and he set it up to work this way, all of your friends go, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. And basically you get encouragement for having posted that, positive reinforcement, mm-hmm. and you keep posting more and more and more and more. But that information is not just for the friends who are going, attaboy, Emmanuel. It's for Zuckerberg and his ad sellers.
Absolutely. Steve Rambam, always a pleasure having you on the show, and we are looking forward so much to having you give your seminar at the Hope Conference coming up next month, www.hope.net.
I'm looking forward to it.
All the information on that at hope.net. And again, if you want to be Steve's victim, you can write to him. The address again, the Pelorium address is what?
Pelorium@pelorium.com or what is it? Off the Hook?
OTH@2600.com right. If you want to write to the radio show. And just thanks for keeping us on our toes and telling us what's going on out there. And
absolutely.
We look forward to seeing you next month in person at the conference. And, of course, also the NSA whistleblower, William Binney, will be giving one of the keynote addresses. A lot of people from different walks of life and different backgrounds coming together for a meeting of the minds. It's going to be really amazing. Again, more information at www.hope.net. And the Yes Man giving the other keynote address, and about 100 other talks and projects and fun activities and things like that.